This is the causes and cures for curses. If you're interested in other types from Shallow Place, you can write us at P.O. Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528, or call at 803-381-0007.
We're oppressed and we don't realize the cause. We might go through years and years of turmoil or confusion or oppression, never being able to find the root. I'm big on roots. Everything that we deal with is you got the fruit, you got the root. But sometimes the roots are very hard to find. There'll be behavioral patterns in their life we just can't get to the root of. And these last two times with you in August and this weekend, I'm trying to hit some of the key areas to where we see it is affecting people's lives in a negative way. This morning, soul ties was a major area, and I talked with a few of you afterwards, and I realized, well, it was the right thing to hit. And so we want to look at different types of curses. We'll probably spend more time on generational curses, but they come from many other areas. Let's pray for it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gathering of believers here today. And tonight we're here, Lord, because we want something from you, Lord. We want liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. And Father, just give us eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. Just let every spirit of distraction, every blocking spirit, just be held captive and not be able to hinder our minds from receiving what the Word is saying here tonight. And Lord, we just pray for grace and mercy tonight. And we believe this night, Lord God, in faith that there is going to be release and freedom in people's lives in areas they've never known before, Lord, and deeper realms than they may have known before. And we ask your blessings on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Curses. I want to read you a quote that I got off of basically our life counseling manual. I believe it came from at Evangel Cathedral when we were there. It's by Derek Prince. It may come from a book, Blessing and Curses, by him. I'd like to read that. I haven't yet. But this quote is very strong. Blessings and curses essentially take the form of words. They may be spoken, written, or merely uttered inwardly. Not just outwardly, but even an inward thought. These words are not just ordinary words, but are vessels of supernatural power. Blessings produce good effects, and curses, evil effects. Blessings proceed from God or men representing God, but the same is true of curses. Therefore, curses will proceed forth from Satan. They proceed forth not from God, but men of authority, perhaps in the satanic realm, or men representing him many times, or men or women, I use that for both terms, many times not even knowing going forth, it can proceed forth even from a believer's mouth and be a cursing. Once we release both blessings and cursings, they tend to continue on through time until they are revoked. Normally, once a curse or a blessing has been released, it will continue until something happens to cancel it or revoke it. This means that there can be forces at work in our lives which were originally set in motion in previous generations. Consequently, we may be dealing with things in our lives, circumstances, within our families, within our temperament, which are not to be explained solely in the terms of what has happened in our own lifetime or out of our own personal experience. The root cause for them may go back a long way in time, even hundreds or thousands of years. That's quite a strong statement. Let's look at a scriptural reference to this. So turn with me to Joshua 6. Joshua 6, starting at verse 26. We're going to hit a lot of scripture tonight because I want to support everything we cover tonight with the Word. So whether you want to follow up or write down the verses, we will be going rapidly through quite a bit of scripture later on. Joshua 6, verse 26. Of course, we know Joshua came into Canaan land. Him and, of course, through the power of God, they utterly destroyed Jericho. It says now in verse 26, Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, he made the people of Israel take an oath at that time, saying, this was after they had destroyed Jericho, cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of the youngest son he shall set up its gates. Here he speaks a curse rather prophetically. He speaks a curse over anyone that comes and begins to rebuild this city. This was a significant city because it was the first major battle in the land of Canaan. That as Israel crossed the Jordan River, they utterly destroyed Jericho, and this was to be an example of what was to take place as they go city to city. And so God apparently moved prophetically over Joshua and moved within him to utter this curse. Remember what it said? Whoever seeks to rebuild this city, with the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of the youngest son, he shall set up its gates. With those verses, that verse in mind, turn to 1 Kings 16. Verse 34. In his days, Hiel the Bethelite from Jericho, he laid its foundation with the loss of Abiram his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Jacob, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Joshua the son of Nun. Here Hiel the Bethelite sought to rebuild Jericho. Now it's 1451 BC when Joshua uttered that curse. It's now 520 years later. 520 years Jericho lay in ashes and lay in destruction. And then one man, who apparently wasn't aware of the word, came to restore the city. And it cost him literally the loss of Abiram, his firstborn, and the loss of his youngest son. The curse that was uttered by Joshua 5 centuries earlier began to come to pass. You see how once a curse has been spoken, it continues to move and flow through a generational line until something cancels that thing out, until it is broken and it is destroyed. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22, starting at verse 15. Through verse 18. Here we'll see the power of words that are spoken in blessing. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. We see here that the opposite of curses, but very similar to curses. Blessing coming from a godly situation, that when spoken forth, blessing occurs, the seed of who received that blessing is going to be affected for generations. Of course, we know Satan always counterfeits something that God has done. And Satan comes in and he brings the curse, the exact opposite of the blessing, but it affects the seed. The emphasis is always in blessing. The emphasis is always on seed. And it's usually conditional where blessings occur. Of course, if obedience is there, he will greatly multiply the generations, the seed of Abraham. Words that are spoken with and from authority, where people with power or authority set something in motion that is going to affect generations. It's either going to bring forth blessings or it's going to bring forth cursings. I was talking with Wayne this morning. He had an interesting thought, and when he asked, I was telling him we're going to share on curses this morning. He said, what would happen if an entire generation was born? We were talking about blessing children in the womb. If an entire generation was born of children that had been blessed in the womb, Remember we talked about last night, those that were here, the slumbering spirit, and we're into a third generation of literally people that have been cursed in the womb, slumber, and look at the result of this country. As drastic a change as this country has gone from morality to immorality in the last 30 years, think of the revival that would hit the land if every child that was conceived and was about to be brought forth in the next 40 years was blessed and called forth in life. Boy, there's a mission somebody could undertake. I didn't mean to tell you. But words spoken by authority. Now, with the Father, we're the authority. We're all powerful over that person. I was sharing with Jeannie this morning, that when the pastor prays over you, there's more authority in him praying over you than me praying over you. Because I'm not the covering. The pastor has that covering. He has that authority. Now, he's released that authority to myself, and he's released that authority to Doug and Jean that are here ministering with you. He's released that as we're here ministering upon you, and it's going to anoint you and affect you and bring healing. But another authority in your life, especially wives, is husband. It says it in 1 Corinthians 7:4 that the wife has an authority over her own body but the husband. Now that's speaking of a sexual relationship, but I think there's a principle there. But it also says the husband has an authority over his own body but the wife. I think there's a place of anointing there and a place of power. An amazing thing happened to me in 1980. No one ever shared salvation with me in a way that I knew what salvation was. I'd never heard an altar call. I'd never seen an altar call. I grew up in a very rigid, traditional, high church setting where there was never anyone born again that I knew of or saw an altar call. I'd never heard of being born again. 27 years old, didn't know you could be born again, never saw a Billy Graham program. He came on another channel. Just didn't know what it was. And sovereignly, God brought salvation unto the Frost family. God saved me. My wife was raised Christian. She was raised in a home, but she departed from that way and went her own way. And when she found that I gave my life to the Lord and she began to grow in the things of God, I leap-bounded literally for several years. And she even says to the present, I'm just skyrocket ahead of her life in maturity and growth, and was told in the first couple of years many times that nobody had ever seen such phenomenal growth in my life. And I sat back, what have I done? Go through high school, the favor of God upon my life. Philip Miles, one of our pastors down there, said, I have never seen anybody with such favor upon your life. I walk around places, and Tim Holt, one of the associates down there, someone walked up and handed him $100 a year ago, and he said, 15 years, nobody's ever done that. You know, and in ministry, everywhere I go, I mean, I just get blessed financially. It's amazing. You never know where it's coming. Favor of God. Houston Miles' wife, Evelyn Miles, asked us one time, how can somebody that's only been in the charismatic renewal have the degree of knowledge and understanding that you've had in 2 years in maturity? About 3 years ago, my aunt did a family history and began to trace the family tree and the family line on back generation, generation, and generation. She went all the way back to the 1600s. Have you ever heard of Madame Guyon? I'm a direct descendant of Madame Guyon and the whole Huguenot society that left France to escape the legalistic church and oppression that was taking place and moved to America for religious principles. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never knew what it was, never heard of it in a sense, sovereign work of God. But see, generationally there has been a thread running through my family line that I truly believe in my life today that what happened in Madame Guyon, one of the greatest authors and greatest women of God, spent years in a dungeon, 9 years in a dungeon for writing one book on the Song of Solomon. And the Catholic Church of that time didn't agree with her writings. They threw her in a dungeon, lived in the dungeon of the Bastille in France for 9 years, just writing it. And her whole emphasis was communion with God. I've received an impartation of her blessing. You have received an impartation of the generational blessings or cursings that have come to the generations in your life. Even though it may be with blessings, it may also come with cursings. There were two men born the same year a couple of hundred years ago. One guy named Max Jukes. You may have heard this before. His family tree was researched recently. He was a contemporary born in the same area that Jonathan Edwards, one of the great preachers, was born. They looked at Max Jukes' family tree over the last couple of hundred years. 310 of them died as paupers. 150 died as criminals. 7 died as murderers. 100 were drunk. Over 50% of the women born through that clan have been prostitutes in their life. And someone else born literally in the same area, the same region, same state, Jonathan Edwards, his family tree, one of the greatest preachers of his era, revivalist preachers, his family tree reads 13 college presidents, 65 professors, 3 U.S. senators, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 doctors, 75 military officers, 100 ministers, 60 authors, 1 vice president, 80 public officials, 295 college graduates. You see what can happen with blessings or curses generationally that can flow down? And even someone that's never heard the word preached in an effective way can come into the kingdom of God because of the blessings that have flowed generationally through our family line. Look at Genesis 27. Starting at verse 27. So he came close and kissed him. This is where Isaac blesses Jacob. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "You see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you." Here Jacob is stealing through deception, is stealing Esau's blessing. And yet his father's not aware of it, but he's blessing him. He's speaking a spoken word. And we see in verse 33 that Isaac trembled violently when he found out that he had blessed the wrong son and said, Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of him before you came and blessed him? Yes, he shall be blessed." And even though that blessing was in deception, even the father, even Isaac, knew that that spoken word is going to happen. He didn't apparently know how to cancel it out in those days. And we're going to learn how to cancel out the blessing. Goes on in verse 37, "But Isaac answered and said to Esau, Behold, I have made him your master and all his relatives. I have given to him his servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. And as for you then, what can I do, my son?" You see, the blessing cannot be withdrawn once put out. The cursing, once put out, is not withdrawn, except his cross. It's going to last for generation to generation to generation to generation. Just like with the Joshua's time and Joshua's curse, 520 years. Now, what's some possible symptoms? Well, how do I know if there's one operating in my life? How do I know if there's one there? Let's look at six or seven possible symptoms in that. First one, we might not have all of these symptoms. We may have one or we may have two or three. So one possible symptom is a repeated cycle of financial calamity. Just a whole poverty mentality running from generation to generation to generation. And what we'll do if someone, perhaps one person, is in financial calamity and you're in it, don't take it that there's a curse upon your life. What you do is look across all the families, the brothers, sisters, uncles. What is the flow of that family? If everywhere you work, you look within that generational tree, if poverty has been going down, going down, going down through that family line, there usually is a curse that is associated with that poverty that's come down within that family line. Somewhere along the line, there has probably been someone that has operated in the sin of materialism, idolatry, the worship of money, somewhere, because the curse is usually associated with the symptom, or the symptoms usually associated with the sin. If poverty is there, somewhere there has been the sin of greed or something that deals in that aspect within the family line. Let's look at another symptom. Here's a very, very common one, one we see very often. Of course, poverty is a common one. Repeated or chronic illness without clear diagnosis. Let's go back just a minute. I was just thinking, what is rampant among our city? What major group within our country probably walks in poverty more than any other? I would say the black. But probably one is the cheapest. Now, I hadn't thought about talking about this, but what? Why? Okay, if it's related to money, among the black society, what happened generations ago? The rich enslaved them, murdered them, raped them, destroyed them. So what do you think, how do you think the black family members responded to the oppression and the injustice and the devastation that took place among the blacks? I would tend to believe, perhaps, remember the Bitterroot judgments? We're just trying to think possibilities. And a lot of when we're looking for curses is we just kind of, okay, God, how could it happen? And a lot of times it's just the spirit of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and we just might have an idea. Could it be that during the slavery days, many of the blacks judged the wealth and the wealthy people for what they did in the oppression? And even though the blacks did not deserve it, no, they did not deserve the slavery. But remember, where bitter roots are concerned, if we judge another person, that person may sin against us, but how do we act to that sin against us? And it's possible among black generations, again, we're just given a possibility that there could have been a judgment generations back against the wealthy. Thus, look what's happened. Another group. Look at the Indians. The Indians, the greatest single group of ethnic group of divorce lies, or not divorce, well, divorce is in India. Suicide is in India. Alcohol, the percentage of any ethnic group within this country lies worse in those three areas of alcoholism, drug addiction, divorce, and suicide lies in India. Now, that can go back to several reasons. And poverty lies right there, yet they have land and they have been given millions and millions of dollars, and it's wasted away in many circumstances. Again, judgment against the white man for what the white man's done to them and the breaking of laws. Or it can go back to their occult background, too, within the occult, cultic religion, worshiping the gods of the earth. So we'll look for patterns before we pray over someone. Let's go on to the next one. Repeated or chronic illness without clear diagnosis. This is usually a very major one that we find often. It can not only be a generational thing, it can be curses that are going on in the present that can bring sickness or can bring illnesses within our life. Beginning of 1990, a very accurate prophet from South Africa, Kim Clement, he's a guy that can tell you your name. You know, he'll call you out in the back and tell you the name or your name, your brother or father. He prophesied over my wife and I in the spring of 1990, and he called us up and he says, I see a tremendous all-out satanic attack coming to you this year, and I want the whole church to pray that their life is spared. Then my wife went, you're not going to die. I don't see you dying. But, I mean, it was accurate. At that time in our life, we had several people of authority in the body of Christ, people we were working with that were in immorality. Ministries that were in immorality and some integrity that we were assigned to begin to minister restoration to them. And when you minister to people in counseling over a period of time, if they go on and freedom comes in their life, I mean, there is a godly bond and soul tie between you that's there for life. But when people don't go on and they go back to their sin, now they're out to destroy you and destroy everything you represent. And we had literally in 1 year's time, in that year of 1990, six people that were in high authority in the kingdom of God according to their position that had gotten into some situations that we were sent to clean up. And there was more than six, but there were six that turned and tried to do everything to destroy the ministry that we were doing and even our personal lives. And we woke up one time in the summer of 1990. Can we talk deep spiritual things here and not flip you all out too much? I'm not one of these real spooky guys that sees all these things in the spiritual realm. Now, flowing the gifts a lot in counseling sessions and word of knowledge and prophecy and word of wisdom, but there was such an oppression that was in our house. My wife was suffering from pneumonia that summer. My son had pneumonia. All the family were sick. We spent over $5,000 on just doctor bills and stuff that year. It just was wiping us out, and associates don't make a lot of money. And the pressure was so bad that night, I got up and just had to... You ever had it just so heavy over you, you just got to get up and just walk and pray? And I got up and I'm just praying in tongues, and I could just... You could literally just feel a satanic attack coming against you. And I looked out the windows of the house that was there in Spartanburg, and in the spirit realm, not in the natural, but in the spirit realm, the Lord let me peer in it and see all the way around our property was literally thousands of demonic spirits or shadows. I went and woke my wife up. I wanted to see if she could see it. She came out and she could say the same thing. And we had to sit up all night fighting against this thing. And early in the wee hours of the morning, the Lord just revealed it to my wife and I at the same time, right at the same moment. I told her, the Lord just told me the same thing. That it was the witchcraft the people were operating in, speaking against us, and the curses that were coming against us that was bringing oppression, and it was what was bringing all of this sickness upon our life. And we couldn't break through the thing. And the Lord then told me, go into a 40-day fast. Only eat enough to survive. I can't fast 40 days. There won't be anything left, you know. But went into a 40-day fast and told me, lay hands on your wife. My wife was slipping into a depression again. She had to have a cancer removed for her lip that came up there. I mean, we had one thing after another. Said, every night I want you to pray over here at least 5 to 10 minutes every night. And boy, I had to argue with that one. I'm a prayer warrior in the morning, a prayer wimp after 8 o'clock at night. You know? And he wanted me to pray at night over because he knew he had something to break into me. And every night I had to pray healing over my wife. The oppression was so deep over her. After 40 days, that thing was broke. All sickness and illness was out of our family. We were coming against the words daily and the oppression that was coming against us within this situation. The Lord, after the 40 days, our whole reputation was destroyed for a season and all this. And after that 40 days, the word says a man who digs a pit will surely fall into it. These individuals were exposed and they fell into a pit, so to speak. And the breakthrough and the freedom was there. Literally, in the last 3 years, I don't believe we've given $100. No, I had one boating accident. Besides that, $100 to doctors, probably in over 3 years. And that year they got over $5,000. Both did. Financial calamity as well as sickness. And where did that come from? Curses that others were speaking over our lives. Now a third way we can recognize, the third symptom. Again, we might not have all of these, but one or two of them can be operating. They can come from curses others are speaking, which we're going to look at here in a moment, or they can come from generational things that are flowing through our family line. Thirdly, continued family unrest, disorder, division, and divorce. Can you look across your family line? Can you look at all the brothers, sisters, uncles, and see just that there is nothing but a whole pattern of unrest and divorce or division in that family? Then it is a generational curse. Or it can be going on. Have you had seasons in your life when you just knew something was just eating you up? Maybe things went well for 10 years in your marriage, but you're just going through a season. If it's across the line, then there's a good chance there were sexual sins or immorality in the forefathers that produced divorce, and it's been a curse that's come back down. It can be Deuteronomy 26:3. It can be of the sins of Moloch, that is, the sins of child sacrifice. Perhaps there was a murderer somewhere in the line, back line that brought violence flowing through your line, bloodline. Or if it's a season you're going through, that the marriage was going pretty well, there was peace in your family, and you hit a season. There may be a situation. There may be something brought in the house. We had a situation with one of the deacons at Evangel that they moved on to a new house, built a new home. This couple was at the peak of their marriage and their relationship with their family. And from the moment they moved on to this home, there was nothing but division and strife. The children were ended up in turmoil, problems at school, run away from home, the husband and wife going up. I remember them telling me it's just like a dog was sitting there just chewing us to pieces. In fact, they even went through three dogs that lived in the yard that they couldn't let it in the house because it would chew up the house. And the dogs chewed all the framework off the doors, the windows. They'd get a hold of the side of the house and it would chew it up, and they'd get rid of one dog, go to the humane society, get another and bring it back. And their whole house, you'd walk around the house, and every corner was chewed up as far as a dog could stand. And they had to get rid of all the dogs. They couldn't bring a dog home. Well, we went in the house. I said, there's something in the house or the property. And we got the big guns from Evangel that were aware of deliverance and dealing with some type of demonic activity or curse. And we went onto that house and property. And we spent 2 or 3 hours, and we just listened. What is this, God? And I kept coming back to the living room. We walk all through the house looking, is there something here defiling the house? And I kept coming back to the living room, and there was a wolf, a plaque of a wolf, one of her crafts, a wolf about this high, on the wall. And I kept coming back to that wolf, and I couldn't leave it alone. And after about 2 hours, we were just praying, the whole family. I realized that wolf is sitting there howling, and up here about 2 foot higher is the family. And I remembered, and it came to me, what the husband had told me. He said, just like a dog's chewing on us or something all the time. In fact, even chewing on a house. And I asked, what's that wolf mean to you? And they said, nothing. And I said, I keep getting wolf, wolf, wolf. And I said, it's something to do with that. And I said, let's pray over that. And I started praying over it, and I could see Indians. Have you ever seen on TV Indians that got those wolf skins on and they're dancing around the fire? I could see Indians walking around the fire, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying and I'm waiting on this thing to end, and the other counselor that came with me, staff member came with me from Evangel, said it's got something to do with Indians. That's it. And we realized the land was cursed, and what the Lord revealed in the spirit there was that that piece of property, it was a Cherokee area, was a place of Indian rituals or something. It had something to do with those Indians and that wolf dance. Well, we came against, basically, we didn't know what's coming, just spirit of the wolf, you know. Most time we didn't know what sounded totally crazy to us. It was, I said, man, if people knew what we're doing, they'd think we're nuts, you know. And we took that wolf even out on the porch, and we shattered the thing and broke it. Just basically a symbolism. This thing was going to break. And we came against the spirit of the wolf, and we came against the spirit of occult and divination and familiar spirits that were familiar with that property. And literally overnight, the dog stopped chewing on the house. The family went into peace. But see, there was a curse that had come down upon that land that brought that family into unrest. It wasn't generationally against them, but it dealt with that piece of property. Now, it could have been generational, but because the fruit had been in the first years of the marriage, or 10, 12 years of the marriage, there was peace, and then you went into unrest. You got the fruit. Where's the root of this thing? If you're patient enough, God will reveal roots. If you're quiet enough and listen enough, He'll give you things, impressions in your spirit that seem totally crazy sometimes, but sometimes there's a key to it. With me, I don't listen good enough and walk enough faith. I got to wait till someone else comes with it and say, it has something to do with Indians. So he told me that 2 hours earlier. It has something to do with wolves. So we look for those different things. Is there a pattern? Fourth thing. Is this too spooky? Okay. In some churches, you get in there. And things like this don't happen all the time. I'm giving you some very... You know, things like this stand out in your mind over the years. We don't see this stuff happen all the time. Fourthly, what's another symptom? There can be a mental or emotional instability seen in family members. Does it run across the gambit of several family members? Is there insanity? Is there nervous breakdowns that runs apart? Not just one family member or two. Do you see it on down the line? Usually where this lies, there has been occult activity somewhere in the generational line. Happens often if there's any Indian heritage. If there's any Indian heritage within your life, you need to receive some ministry for breaking of generational curses, or you can just pray as we're going to pray at the end here, and it'll break. But often where there's an occult involvement, there will be emotional instability. Of course, it might not just be an occult. It could be other things. Fifthly, This is a major one that we deal with often, almost every place we go to. Repeated miscarriages, infertility, female problems, or sexual problems. Very often. Anybody here looking to get pregnant that's not able to? There is someone. I would like to some time, Gene and I, with you, if you would let us speak with you a little bit after the meeting. We see at least, 1992, I know of at least four women, three in one church, that had children within the next year after receiving some ministry in this area. Where this often goes back to, not all the time. No absolutes in this, not all the time. But where this often goes back to is there's been some type of immorality or sexual sin within the generational line. And it'll flow down. And the threat of it is if there's been some type of sexual sin in a great-grandfather, a great-great-grandfather, three or four generations back, the threat of that's going to flow through the family members and somehow it's going to affect a person within the sexual realm. It may be within a sexual problem or behavior. It may come out as infertility. It can come out as miscarriages. We had, and I shared this a little bit yesterday, but we had the first time I ever went through any type of teaching on this in 1986, Bill and Polly McKnight came and did a workshop in the denominational church. And boy, I got in trouble for that. But Philip, who I was beginning to trust, one of these charismatic pastors, it was a little weird, but he said I needed it, and I wanted what he had. So we brought him in, and I think three of us showed up for the workshop out of my whole church. But I tell you what, the two of us, my wife and I, changed our lives forever. But shortly after that, a couple of weeks, a friend came to visit us that was married, a beautiful, attractive young lady, 23, a little Baptist girl from Columbia, and she'd had continual miscarriages and back trouble. And I'd just been healed supernaturally of rheumatoid arthritis in my back, and it was a 2-year prayer process to get healed. And I told her, I don't believe you need to suffer with this. I think those miscarriages probably link back somewhere within your forefathers or something. We spent a couple hours teaching her what we'd just learned. Basically, all we were doing was just witnessing. If you take what you learned this weekend and let the Lord minister to you in an area, don't run around telling everybody what they need. Just tell him what God's doing in your life and the revelation he's bringing in your life and the freedom he's bringing in your life. And we were just doing that with her, and she said, I want you to pray with me. We'd be glad to, you know. She invited herself into it, and we started praying over it, didn't know what we were doing. And the Lord showed me that her grandfather was in adultery. And I asked her, she said, that's not what I knew of. I said, we're going to pray over as if it happened. I'd rather pray over something that's not there than to miss something that is there. And we prayed over it, and she was slain in the spirit and went out. And this little Baptist girl didn't even know what happened to her. She came to, what happened, you know? And she'd never even heard of that. And we were kind of a little shocked. And during that time, the Lord showed us why she was out for about 20 minutes. We prayed over her womb and showed us the back was due to unforgiveness in her life. And sure enough, she caught a boyfriend in bed with a girlfriend, walked right in on him when she was 18, and she judged him for that sexual infidelity in his life and was still embittered at her, and her back had hurt for 5 years ever since that day, and no doctor could help her. We ministered to her over that area. She was pregnant within 3 weeks, got a little child, never suffered with back trouble again, and I want you to know, we didn't know what we were doing, but God did. We just learned some principles of curses at that time. So, there may be those repeated miscarriages. Gene and I ministered last summer to a lady in Florida. Spent a couple hours with her, and she had a lot of good fruit in her life. There was some negative things, but she'd been trying to have a baby for 10 years and couldn't have a baby. And we found out that her father, I believe it was, who was a music minister, had had an affair and had a lean towards some problems in that area. And we just broke any generational curses that may have come down to her womb from the father. She'd had a miscarriage just a few months earlier before we were there. We ministered to her literally within, 3 weeks, Gene? She was pregnant, and we got a picture in the mail a couple of months ago. It says, here's the little child of promise, you know. And as soon as we broke that thing, 10 years of a closed womb, or or however long it was, but was opened up. And the Lord ministered to her. And it was a breaking of the curse. Ministered in a church in Greenville, and the Lord just prompted me, everyone that wants to have a baby, come forward. And six people, and haven't been able to have one. And six people came forward, and three of the six, half of them, they had all the symptoms that it was a curse. And we broke that off of them. All three of those got pregnant. Now, one of them came forward and said, now I've had a hysterectomy, but we want to have a child. I go, oh, God. They haven't got pregnant. We didn't get them all right, you know. But three of them got pregnant as we broke some curses off of them that dealt with generational immorality within their lives. Sixth thing that can happen. Sixth symptom. Unusually accident prone. You see accidents occurring over and over and over again across generational line, or it may be in your life. Another route to being accident prone is if you've had death wishes. It may not be a generational thing, but if you're accident prone and other family members hadn't been, it might be what could be. And again, there's no absolutes in this. It could go back to death wishes. But if it runs across family, it's a good chance it's generational. Or it could be a curse that's been imposed upon your family, upon you individually. 2 years ago, Labor Day, fishing was kind of poor, income was kind of poor, and I can go out fishing and usually catch 1,000 pounds of fish. My trade, other than ministry, is captain of commercial fishing boats. And I went down to the docks and I found an old 15-year-old commercial boat, the Bronco it was, that nobody wanted to run. It was so old. And I didn't know it. It looked stable to me. And I went on out and took a friend of mine out. And weather was sounding good. We got offshore and caught a few fish. And a blow came in, blowing 39 knots. And seas were running 12 foot. And we headed to the dock and we're having to run right into those seas. And we're just taking a beating. But we got halfway home. We're about 23 miles offshore. It's about midnight, and a 15-foot wave, two waves come together and peaked up and came through the windshield of the boat and just took all the windshields out, the starboard wheelhouse off. The windshield just exploded into my face, and I got cuts there, and I had glass in my neck, and my legs were cut, and my arms lacerated, just blood everywhere. Barry, who was laying up against that starboard wall, broke three ribs and fingers, and we were laying. We found ourselves laying in 3 foot of water, and the boat almost lost the vessel. If I'd have gone in the water with that much blood, you know what had happened to me. But we kept the boat afloat. We kept our heads kept afloat and got in. And boy, we got in, and the boat was a total disaster. We just barely crippled in. It took us till noon the next day to get in. And all the fishermen that had come in for the blower down in the boat working around, they saw me coming in the condition of that boat, and they all ran over there and said, my goodness, what happened? You know, and we're going through the story, and one guy tells me, he said, you know, six people have owned that boat. And he said, every one of them has ended in calamity. Every one of their lives has ended in ruin. They all ended up in divorce. They all ended up in financial ruin. Now you tell me. Why didn't you tell me that before we went out? I could have done something about that curse in 5 minutes. But when something like that, continually accident-prone, continual disaster hits someone's life over and over again, or even that business, or that boat, the Bronco, they say it's never caught fish, it's never produced, it's ended up in disaster every time. They ended up junking the boat, it was so much damage. But apparently what was happening, if you got the fruit, you got the root. Don't want y'all to forget that. We're not concerned with fruit. Don't argue fruit in people's lives. Deal with root. Apparently the root was whoever built that boat or the first owner of that boat, somewhere there was a curse spoken over that. And it may not have been an audible, somebody like a witch sitting there casting a curse. It could be no more than your life is always going to fail. That boat's a piece of junk. It's never going to be anything. And that guy receives it. And if you receive that thing, that word into you, it's going to affect you. What's the sources of curses now? We want to look at several sources. We're going to look at two, but a whole bunch under these two. One source is just disobedience and sin. disobedience and sin, or sin. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 19, 21, 28, 29, we see some of the results of disobedience. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I start charge you today, that all these
At this time, please turn the tape over to hear the remainder of the message.